Amen. Tonight, as you know, anytime I'm holding this microphone, well, it used to be that way. Sometimes when I'm holding it now, it means like this is the way it is. But tonight, everyone knows Pastor Raul. Amen. Tonight, a special word. He's going to reveal what 666 really means. Okay. You have a very tough crowd tonight, Pastor Raul. Let's welcome him in Jesus' name, shall we?
Wow. Can you hear me? I never got the 666 one. That's a good one. Thank you, Pastor Bill. 666. I heard a joke earlier today about numbers, so I'll say it since it's 6. What was 6? 7, 8, 9. Okay. What was... Yeah, the one. What was 7 afraid of 6? Say it again. Yeah, 7, 8, 9. I totally destroyed that joke. There you go. You're smiling. Anyway, it's great to be here. What a blessing. And can you believe we're halfway through the year already? I feel like it was just a few weeks ago we were starting the new year. And now all of a sudden, July 3rd, 6 months are behind us. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Joshua? We're going to be in chapter 14. And as you turn there, you know, if you've heard me teach before, I'm very mindful of time and seasons. Like, I always think, okay, it's the first study or the first, you know, service, or is the junior hires moving up to high school. That's a season. That's an important thing. Or is, you know, we're halfway through the year, we're beginning the year, we're finishing the year, you see Thanksgiving. And I'm always very aware of seasons. I'm always looking and say, okay, how's it going? I like to evaluate personally how things are going with me. Now, okay, it's been 6 months. And 2019 for me. And what's the 6 months have been like? You know, obviously we're in the year of God's whirlwind, and we're all gearing up for that. We're getting ready. We don't know exactly how the Lord is going to move, but we know He will. So we're all preparing. If you guys remember, you know, we can't define it. It's the Lord doing the work. And, you know, as I was praying and you know, about what to teach tonight, it's usually very difficult, you know, to know, okay, what do I talk about? I mean, this is an ocean of wealth, you know, to pick a verse and share. What does God want to say? And this is the first time this has ever happened to me. I was taking notes and I was writing for Sunday because I teach the junior high. And a thought immediately popped in my head. I wrote it down in my notes to keep going. And I was like, huh, that's never happened before. That was cool. I'll take that, Lord. And any day, you know, I'm supposed to teach. So I wrote that down and started praying, and that's what led me to Joshua 14, starting in verse 6. It says, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of, I'm going to destroy his name, Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I want you to pay attention to this word, wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have," here we go again, "wholly follow the Lord my God." And now the Lord spoke this word to Moses. I'm sorry. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, So now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard that in that day how the Anakim were there. This is the giants. And that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed them and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because, here we go, the third time, he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. So we're familiar, that's a long text, by the way. We're familiar with Caleb. We're familiar with Caleb being one of the spies. And, you know, going into 6 months, you know, a lot of things can happen in 6 months. Life can change. Seasons come and go. Things that we were probably not banking on come our way unexpectedly. Sometimes blessings, sometimes tests. And, you know, I know that when Caleb came back with Joshua after spying out the land, he probably wasn't thinking that he was going to cruise for 40 years with a bunch of unbelievers. He probably wasn't expecting him having to walk around with a bunch of people that did not, that their hearts melted, right? He was kind of like the guy that did the right thing in Joshua. You know, like, you know, I always talk to junior highers, like, you know, when you do the right thing and you get burned by your sibling that didn't? You know, that's kind of like, you know, Caleb. And, you know, 40 years wandering around, and the word was, until this generation dies, they won't go into the promised land. I wonder what he felt like for 40 years just waiting for people to die. I mean, he probably was looking, okay, you came out of Egypt, so you need to go so I can go in the promised land. I mean, think about it. It was that generation that didn't believe had to die before he could go in. He was promised he would go. But did he have all the reasons to be bitter? Did he have all the reasons to say, not fair? I think so. I would. Did he have all the reasons to walk around and be like, you bunch of unbelievers? Only Joshua and I. And Moses, obviously, we believe. You bunch of people, I'm holier than you. Now, we don't know much about Caleb. If you do your homework, there's not a lot said about Caleb from that moment when they came back and, you know, spread out the land, except asking for the land until now. You know, there's a couple of highlights, but Caleb was kind of like there the whole time. Now, Joshua, on the other hand, he was the guy, right? He was the next guy. And it's like he's fighting battles, you know. It's like, yeah, you're the next guy. And he's, I mean, Joshua's on fire. And Caleb also believed, but why was he not Joshua? Did he have a reason to perhaps be jealous? Hey, I believe too. How come I'm not fighting those battles? How come my name is not there? How come it's not my memory? How come Moses praying there, you know, holding his arms being held up by Aaron and her? Why am I not on that story? I wonder if he had those thoughts. I know I would have. I wonder if he didn't feel like, you know, 20 years into it, it's like, okay, when is this going to end? How about 30 years into it? How about 35? I wonder if he kept a tally of the people by age. He'd be like, did you come out of it? Yeah, oh, you, okay, good. So I'm watching this one. This one has to go. You know, I wonder. But truth be told is, if you pay attention, I highlighted three times, it's said of him that he wholly, wholly, followed the Lord, not man. And can I suggest something? I'm not adding to the word. I'm suggesting that it was that mentality, that heart, that he wholly followed the Lord, not people, that kept him going for 45 years. See, when we keep our eyes, when we put our faith, when we look at people, people will fail. Jesus never said, follow people. You won't find that anywhere. He said, follow me. He will not disappoint. He cannot disappoint. But when I keep my eyes on that next thing, that person that promised the job, the promotion, the inheritance, whatever it is, the place, the job, chances are they're going to fail. And if all my hope and dream, everything is on those people, I'm just going to crash. But Caleb wholly followed the Lord for 40 years. And his story, when he says, hey, Joshua, it's time. It's been 45 years. Let's go. Now, I'm the practical guy. I often say this. If I'm 85 and I've been walking around for 40 years with a bunch of unbelievers, watching them all die, I would think that by 85 I'll be like, you know, it's good. Keep the land. Let the giants go. Who cares? Give them the mountain. I'm good. I'm just going to get a little tent by the lake, you know, fishing rods, barbecue. I'm good. Josh, I'm good. I don't need that anymore. I would probably be that way. Just being really honest. Okay, I like the easy way. Yeah. But not him. He's like, hey, I'm still strong. As strong as I was when the Lord called me 40 years ago. 45, he said. I'm ready for war. Give me the mountain. Now, be practical, Caleb. Why the mountain? Why with giants? Why not the flat by the lake? You could probably get it. No, give me the mountain. Give me the giants. That's mine. The Lord said it's mine. I'm going for it. Let's go. And the Lord will be with me. His faith. Why stir the pot, Caleb? Why? Like, do you ever look at somebody and go like, why? Like, why are you doing this? It could be so much easier. I would have been the guy telling Caleb, let's pray about this one. Are you sure about this? You really want to go and do this? You're 85. I'm honest. He's like, Joshua, let's go. I want it. It's mine. Let's stir the pot. Let's put those giants, you know, let's just get them out of there. This is my mountain. Why stir the pot? Because he wholly followed the Lord. He kept going. Keep going. By the way, that's the title of my message. Keep going. There's a million voices, probably on a daily basis, that are there to just tell us stop, that are there to tell us quit, that are there to tell us it wasn't your fault, it's their fault, that are there to tell us it's not going to happen, it's been 39 years. Can I suggest to you, that, by the way, it's from the enemy. He wants to stop God's children. Why? Well, it makes sense. We are a threat to his kingdom. We're moving forward. Of course he's going to discourage us. Want to put those thoughts in our heads. Create division and so forth to stop us. I mean, think about it. If you were a giant, wouldn't you want to put like a little guy in there and go tell Caleb to change his mind? It's like, hey, yeah, that's the God that's coming. I mean, yeah. The voices that want to stop us, tell us to quit, to give up, why bother, don't stir the pot, take it easy, are there more so than the voices that say, keep going. It is easier to quit than to keep going. It is so much easier to give up. I never forget, and this is not in my notes, so this is for somebody. I had all these jobs as a younger guy. 18 when I started the workforce. And I remember whenever I got mad at somebody, boss, I just left. I never wanted to deal with them. I just walked off. I walked off a lot of times. I'm like, bye. I mean, I would not deal with them. I had no like respect. I don't know what it was. I'm better now, I promise. I've been at my job for 2 days. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I've been working for a long time. But I remember, I just the easy way out was to quit, to give up. When I moved here from Costa Rica, that's where I'm from, if you haven't noticed my British accent, that was a joke. That was a joke too. Okay. I remember I wanted to leave again. And I'm like, oh, I'm done. I don't think I can do the, no. And my aunt told me in the car one time, I'll never forget it, it's like, you always run away. You're always running away from things. You ran away from Costa Rica, now you're running away from Miami, now you're running away from California to Costa Rica. It's a circle. You need to stop running away. You need to stop quitting. And I thought, you're right. I like to quit. To quit is the easy thing, not for Caleb. It wasn't an option. He was walking with the Lord wholly. He was dealing with consequences of disobedient people when it wasn't his fault. That's reality, maybe for some of us tonight. You're walking with the Lord. You're doing the right thing. Yet, you're there with that unbeliever, those unbelievers. That is because of their doing, not you. And you want to be like me and quit. Or have my mentality, quit and be done and throw a fit and point all your arguments and line them all up and send them an email and tell them why you're right and they're wrong. Not Caleb. We don't hear much about him. We just hear that he kept going. And when he resurfaces in our timeline, he's ready to go to war. Those 45 years, he wholly followed the Lord. It didn't change his stance for what he wanted to do, for what the Lord had promised him. He could have given up. Now, that word holy, I looked it up. It says to fill, to be full, fullness, abundance, to be accomplished, be ended, to consecrate. He completely and entirely followed the Lord. I wonder if that's how we follow the Lord. I wonder if that's how the Lord is part of our lives on a daily basis. Is he the Lord on Wednesday and Sunday only? And I'm not trying to make you feel bad at all. No. I'm trying to encourage you. He was completely all in with Jesus. There was no negotiation for Caleb. And people around him knew it. That's what Joshua says, you wholly follow the Lord. It's so easy to just not use, but take what God gives us, salvation and blessings, when we need them. But yet, we run our own agenda when we don't want him to crash our party, steer our thoughts and our decisions and ways and things we do and say and listen to and watch. No, Lord, you stay there. Good to take me to heaven. It's good. But I'm still not. Caleb, holy, follow the Lord. Three times is mentioned in our text. And then he wants the mountain with giants. Why stir the pot? Why keep going? Why? I'll tell you why. Caleb was leading his family. He was being an example to those behind him, to those with him. He said, I'm showing the example to my kids, my family, that we keep going. That we're not done until we're done. That we're not done until we get to heaven. And then we're really done. But while we're here, I often say it to the youth, I'll say it here, while you're on earth, as long as you have air in your lungs and you're breathing, you're moving, God has a purpose for you and me. There's work to be done. If you were done and ready for heaven, he will just take you there. But as long as you're here, there is something for you and for me to do. The year of the whirlwind. Why stir the pot? Did Caleb wonder? Why? How is the Lord working in all this? How is this fair? Did he have those thoughts? I wonder. I know I would have. I was reading recently through Judges and the story of Samson, Judges 14 and so forth, but it was when Samson wanted to have a Philistine wife. And his parents go like, don't we have here Israelite? Why would you pick somebody there? And it says, verse 4 of Judges 14, it says, but his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over the land. Samson's parents were wondering, why is my son wanting to marry an enemy? And I'm a dad, and I go like, why is my son or my daughter, why are they making this? Why, right? You wonder why. But what the parents didn't know is that the Lord was in it. What Caleb perhaps didn't grasp, although he wholly followed the Lord, is like the Lord was working in him too. Because all things work together for good, Romans 8:28, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. See, we don't see the entire picture. That's what I have to remind myself. I only see in front of me, maybe a week or a month or two. And that could all change. But we don't see what's all happening behind the scenes in my life with my family. I know I keep going praying for people. I've been praying for my brother for 20 years almost. I don't know what's happening there. I just know that I keep praying. See, I don't know what's all going on, but I know something is, because God promised all things are working together for good. All of them. Not some, not the good, not the blessing, all things. There's some things that we may not understand. It's hard to grasp until we get to heaven. And then we look back, it's like, made sense. But today, here, it's like, why? I wonder if that was Caleb. I wonder if there's a prodigal. I wonder if that family member just won't get it. And we keep praying, I keep praying, you keep praying, we keep praying, and we don't see it. I wonder. Well, I'm here to tell you, keep going. Keep praying. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't say it's too long. You don't know what's all happening behind the scenes. But here's what I know, and I'm going to get a little personal here, but it's reality. You know, we're praying for my son. Some of you guys know him, and it's kind of like we pray, but what's happening? Well, I'm going to tell you what's happening. I'm growing a lot. And I tell my wife just about every day, I'm growing a ton more than before. As I pray for my son, my little guy, he's 15 months old. Everybody's trying to figure out why the guy won't eat. It's okay. God knows. But I have been growing personally a ton. My prayer life went to a level ninja. That's like good. Level ninja is good. And I'm not trying to say that, oh, wow, Raul is so holy. No. It's just like something is happening that wasn't happening before in my life as we navigate this season. And by the way, it's just a season. Seasons have a beginning, start point, and end point. They don't last forever. Heaven is forever. Heaven is forever. That's where we're going. When our season on earth is over, it's like glory. Boom. But, you know, something does happen as we keep going in the eternal in us, that if it wasn't happening, if those things didn't come our way, we would not be where we are. I've never met somebody that's told, man, my life is perfect. I'm a millionaire. I'm saved. Oh, my kids lay hands for each other when they wake up. Some of them speak in tongues. When they turn on the radio, it's only worship music or a sermon. I mean, my business is doing great. I have so much money, I don't know where to put it. Isn't God good? I never met somebody that's in my spiritual, dude, if I pray right now, fire will just come right through here and burn that. I mean, you don't even know what kind of spiritual guy I am, because everything is perfect in my life. I've never met anybody like that. And if you have, run. Something's not right. But But the people that I've met that have that faith, that endurance, are people that have navigated some choppy waters, some hard knocks. In their prayer time, life became level ninja over this amount of years as they saw little things come into place, and they were now praying. Remember Elijah there, 1 Kings 18, when he declared a drought and he said, okay, it's going to rain again. He prayed, right? He put his face in between his knees and he tells this guy, go look. He said, nothing. He did that 7 times, right? The 7 times, go look. He said, oh, there's a small cloud the size of a hand. Run. Remember? He's like, run. Tell the king, let's go. It's going to pour. And it did. It did. Sometimes all you see is the little cloud. You keep praying. And you see that one little crack. And you see that little light. And you go like, oh, the floodgates are coming. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Again, the enemy will want you to stop, but not you. The enemy will want you to quit, but not you and not me, in Jesus' name. By the way, I'm not talking about self-power, like, oh, look in the mirror. No, I'm talking in his strength, in God's strength. Remember Daniel there, Daniel 6, when they told him he couldn't pray and his enemies were after him? What did he do? He opened the windows. He prayed 3 times a day, as it was his custom from early days. He didn't change anything. He kept going. Sometimes people will want to discourage you, an attack or something. It's like, oh, I got to stop. Back to Elijah. Didn't he call down fire with the prophets of Baal and blasted them all and killed them? And then an evil woman, Jezebel, gives him a threat. He goes and hides in a cave? He's like, oh, man, it's just me. I'm done. It's like, wait, no. No, you're not done. No. And God sends and says, no, 7,000, we're good. Now, I'm encouraged every time I read that story. Because you see, we can have that mountaintop. And then the one thread, the enemy comes. It's like, it's not worth it. You were wrong. It's not going to work. It's awful. You're going to die. They're coming after you. And this guy is calling down fire. He's now hiding in a cave. And God, and here's what is even bigger to me that spoke to my heart earlier as I was finishing this. It's like God even found him in the cave when he had decided to quit, to stop. He found him in the cave. He spoke to him in the cave. See, that encourages me and should encourage you. Because sometimes we just say, why? And we throw in the towel and we drop off. And God will find us right in that spot. And you will come on a Wednesday, July 3rd to church. Maybe that's you. And you'll hear some guy you never met before. Keep going. God is working. You're being effective for the kingdom. The cloud, the little cloud is showing. I'm telling you, man, my son put a spoon in his mouth today. We're like, oh, my other 3 kids are like cheering on him. And you know, he's little and he gets and he's like dancing on that chair. I'm like, yeah, I told my wife, we're praying. That's why he put that spoon. It was full of water. But hey, he put a spoon in his mouth. See, a little hand, a little cloud. God found Elijah after all that in the cave. God finds you where you are tonight, whatever it is, and tells you, the journey is not over. We're in July. Keep going. Oh, but how's that all going to work out? You keep going. You keep going. You don't stop. Let the Lord figure it out. But you don't give up praying. You keep going. When you pray, as you keep going, I pray that the powers of darkness tremble when your knees hit the floor. Honestly. When you're praying, that you go like, oh man, here comes Raul. And that he's level ninja right now, right? Whoa, things are happening. Hey, let that be you. Seriously. be a Daniel and pray and open the windows and go. You know, when we pray, we're calling on the name above all names. Have you ever thought about that? The name above all names. Every single name, 8 billion people on the planet or so, plus all the other billions that have died. Every single name, Jesus above every name. When you're calling on the name above all names, it's a whole different meaning. You're not calling my name. That guy, those people, that army. No. It's the name of God, Jesus. You're tapping into the very source of life that created and framed everything that we see. You're asking Him when you pray. You realize the magnitude and power that is? It's unmeasurable. There's no way anybody can put a measure to that. That's who we're praying for, too. And when you put that child, my kid, that son, that daughter, that spouse, before Him, it's before the name above all names. That's power. That is so powerful. I was like, it's one of those things that you know, and you read it, but then sometimes it just hits you. You go like, whoa, 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 this is powerful. The name above all names. And I believe that it's time to get uncomfortable. I like to be comfortable. I like my bubble. This is my bubble. And here's church. And this is my kids. And this is my job. This is the neighborhood. Everybody in that bubble is happy. Don't go outside the bubble. Don't go knocking on that neighbor's door and invite him to church. That's outside the bubble. Don't invite him to your house. They're coming into your bubble. You know what? Get rid of the bubble. I need to get rid of the bubble. I need to become uncomfortable. I need to become comfortable being uncomfortable. Back to Caleb. He could have been really comfortable. He became uncomfortable. Fighting wars. Let's go. I was teaching the junior high on Sunday, and some of them are here. You probably remember. I was talking about, we were in Luke, and it was about the Good Samaritan. It was the Levite, you know, the priest and the Good Samaritan. And I was making that point. It's like, the Samaritan could have just done the same thing that the other two religious guys did. Walk by. But he went out of his way and helped. He came out of his bubble and reached out. We need to get out of our bubble. I need to get out of my bubble. I'm preaching to me. I really am. Ask my wife. I'm always planning everything to go perfect. I'm like, let's stop here. Let's go that. Oh, that'll take too long. Oh, they won't be in bed on time. Oh, nope. Oh, they'll get dirty. We don't want to bathe them tonight. You know what I'm talking about? Young parents. Oh, no, don't get them ice cream. You have to bathe them. No, that's more work. No. Bubble, bubble, bubble. I need to get out of that bubble. Honestly. I want to look at people in the eye, invite them to church. They'll be, hey, come here. Hey, the other day I was talking to a guy, and it's like this big old thing, and producer of a commercial. I'm like, you know, my pastor, and I was telling him about my pastor, a St. Clair commercial. And when I said pastor, it was like something happened in that area. It's like, whoa, he said the P word, pastor. He goes to church. It's like, you know what? Get over it, man. Yeah, I go to church. Who cares? You want to come? It's cool. We need to get uncomfortable. We need to stop playing so safe. Just get out of our comfort zone and keep going. There's land. There's things to be conquered. There's people that are hurting. I was listening to the news today. I didn't realize what's all happening, but it's pretty unstable on the world scene right now with the Middle East and Europe and other. Oh, this is getting real. And immediately it's like, huh, the fields are white. The harvest is plenty. People need to hear Jesus. What's going to happen? It's going to happen. God is in control. The name above all names. Every government, every leader, who cares? God is in control. But the, you know, when the world is as unstable as it is right now, you talk to somebody about Jesus, they don't want to hear about it. You know, if they're paying attention to what's unfolding. But I really believe, guys, that it's time to get uncomfortable. I was preparing for this, and I came across this quote about keep going. I thought, wow, what a quote. I read it to my wife the other day. I said, this is Spurgeon. It says, if you want to know how to backslide, leave off going forward. Cease going upward, and you will go downward of necessity. You can never stand still. I came across this as I was preparing. You can never stand still. You got to keep moving forward. Or you'll start sliding back. We have to keep going. We can't stop. By Jesus, by his grace, for his glory. Not your power, his own. Keep going. How long, Raul, you'd say? Well, as long as it takes. I didn't pray once for my son and walked away and said, okay, it's done. I keep praying. Jesus says, keep praying, keep seeking, keep knocking. How long? 40 years? 45? 10 minutes? We're told to keep praying. You know, the VBS is about the armor of God. You know, the last verse, Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. After the shield, the belt, the helmet, the sword, boots, it's like praying always. How long? Always. When do I stop? Always. You keep praying. You pray so much that it's like, whoa, that's all I do, pray. Reading about Spurgeon, he will not go. He said he felt weird if he went but 30 minutes without praying. That's pretty powerful. There she was. After at this church, I was there, front row. She's crying. Tears gushing down. It was a baptism service. On the stage, her husband, whom she had been praying for 27 years, wearing one of those white robes, getting baptized. And I was not saved at the time that I was there. This is my grandma. And I'm there right where about Pastor Bill is, and my grandma was right here. And I don't know why, but I caught the moment. I'm like, Oh, and I looked over, and I saw 27 years of prayers being answered. Right there. I was about 15, 16 years old. Completely lost at the time. But for some reason, I'm like, whoa. He got saved. I mean, he was probably the one person you think he'd never get saved. He did. She prayed 27 years. And I asked my grandma after he went to heaven, because he did shortly after. I said, Grandma, how did you... And I became a Christian. I'm like, Grandma, tell me. She's like, it was awful. It's like one day I was so done, and God gave me his peace, and I told him, I don't want your peace. I want this over with. I said, whoa. And he's like, but then I felt bad, and I repented. God's given me the peace to keep going. I'm like, so I kept going, and I prayed. And I prayed every day. And he got saved. And he's in heaven. How long, guys, do we pray? As long as it takes. But we keep going. We don't slow down. I was reading again the other day. And this verse, Isaiah 30:15, really hit me. Says, you know, in returning and rest, you will be saved. But then here it says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I'm like, I sat literally on my chair, and I don't do this, for like 45 minutes just thinking about that. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And I kept thinking about that and repeating in my head, in quietness and confidence shall be. I'm sorry, quietness and confidence is my strength. I started thinking, yeah, sometimes you just pray and nobody knows you're praying. You deal with things nobody knows in quietness. But you have that confidence that it's God who hears you. And then you draw that strength. I've been just thinking about it for like weeks. In quietness and confidence shall be my strength before the Lord. He knows. He knows. We're going to do something weird tonight. Not too weird, but we will. But I don't know if you needed to hear what I just said. I know I did. I know I did. I don't know if somebody here is hanging by a thread in their journey, wanting to be like me sometimes and quit. Maybe you just need that nudge to keep going. But we're going to be up here and we're going to pray. We want to pray for people. We want to pray for you, and I want you to pray for me too. But there's something, there's a dynamic when God's kids get together and pray. It's kind of like when I have four kids, but three are very vocal, and they know what they like. They know ice cream. They know Buc-ee's. You know, they know stuff. But whenever they all come, it just happens about, whenever they agree on one thing, happens about every 10 billion years. But when they do agree on something, and they tell my wife and I are together, can we do this? Can we go on a walk? Can we go get ice cream? Can we go to pizza or whatever? See, when they're all in agreement together, and they come with those little faces, and they say, please, and then they help each other. You know, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. It's really hard to say no. It's like almost like, they know what they're doing. Like it's like extortion. You know what I'm talking about. They go like, yeah, you do the little sad face. I can almost imagine them planning this. But my heart I just fold. Sure, let's go. Sometimes. But, you know, I feel bad. If I say no, I feel bad. I'm like, man, they really wanted that. And I wonder if we just pray as God's kids for each other. Just ask our Father to do something, to intervene in whatever it is. Sometimes it might just be, give you the strength to be a Caleb and take on this mountain before me. Might just be that. But pray. And you got to remember, you can't forget this. And I'm almost done, I promise. But when you're praying to the one that, as I said earlier, created the heavens and the earth. The one that's preparing a place for you. The one that will never leave you nor forsake you. The one that is with you always. The one that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for you and me. You're praying to the one that knows you, who knows your heart, who knows how you feel. You're praying to the one that it is, says, in this world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You're praying to the one that is great, says, great is he that is in you, that he that is in the world. That's who you're praying. Sometimes I forget to the one that I'm praying. Sometimes I need to be reminded. It's no joke. It's a big deal. Don't forget. Keep that in mind. And as we were singing earlier, Hosanna, save now. I was thinking there. I'm like, okay, when they were saying Hosanna, save now, they wanted to be set free from the Romans, right? They wanted Jesus to set them all, but it was from their sins. But now as we sing Hosanna, save now, we're praying for the true, like the deliverance when we go. I mean, think about it. He's coming. And the way Iran is looking right now, I'm just waiting for Russia to line up, and it's like, man, he's really coming. Okay, this is, whoo, there's a cloud. Okay? He's coming on a cloud, by the way. You're praying to him. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. If you have not or are not wholly following the Lord, pray for that too. Say, Lord, here I am. Take it. Take what I am, what I have, which is nothing. It's little. Who cares? I want to be a Caleb. I want to wholly follow you. And in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, if that's you, you're in for a ride that will blow your mind. And furthermore, you will not regret it. Not for a second. So, Jesse, can you come and sing? And let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the reality that you love us, the reality that you know us, the reality that you care for us, the reality that you are here with us, the reality that you see our pains, the reality that you see our hearts, the reality that you know how we're feeling today, the reality that, Lord, you want to touch. I thank you for that. And I pray for all of us in this room and here and on the internet or watching that, Lord, you will help us to keep going. That the voice of doubt and the enemy will flee our minds and hearts, and that we will heed the words of eternal life that come from you. Lord, I pray if anyone in this room needs just to come to you and be saved, you will do that. I pray, Lord, if anybody has been praying for many years for the one thing, Lord, that they'll find strength tonight to keep going, holding on to you, walking with you, and that you will overwhelm them with your love and your peace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this night. Have your way now in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Jesse's going to sing.